Oh, hey, I'm so glad that you found us. My name's Michael, and I get to be the pastor at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church in Lakeland, Florida. You're listening to the It's Better When You're Here podcast, where every week we upload the messages that are preached at our church every Sunday. We hope by listening to this, you feel safe, heard, and loved by the God that created you. We hope this message makes an impact in your life. If listening to this makes a difference, reach out to us and connect with us either on social media or on our website, shepherdsumc.com. All right, here's the message. So this morning we're continuing our series called Blue Note Stories, working off of the great tradition of African-American preaching, Black American preaching, the gift that is to the American church, the church around the world. And we're looking specifically at stories that sing when it feels like God is quiet. It's a series that looks at these stories that the stories that we get told as the church, not just to make us happy, but also to push us for a change, to make us different, to help us grow, to change our neighborhood and make our world look a little bit more like the kingdom of God every day. This church is needed by this community. We must live into that need. I'm going to be saying this a lot. I hope you get tired of hearing it, so maybe you'll remember it. This church is needed by this community. We must live into that need. All right, now take your Bibles. If you've got a paper Bible, you can use that. If you don't have a paper Bible, again, use your good friend Google, Bing if you must. But turn to Matthew chapter 14. We'll begin reading at verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them. He had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There's no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them, and broke the loaves apart. All right, this next bit, if you've got a paper Bible, I want you to take a pen and underline this next bit. If you've got the Bible app, highlight it. If you're Googling it, I don't know, memorize this part. You ready? "And gave them to his disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowds." All right, gave them to his disciples, then the disciples gave them to the crowds. That'll come up later, okay? It's like a red herring, except it's actually fish. Anyways, then the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. About 5,000 men, plus women and children, had eaten. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. So we have some characters in this story, in this passage. I want to draw them out so you can hear the whole story. If you've grown up in the church, man, have you heard this story a lot, right? There's 4 Gospels. There's 4 tellings of this miracle. You see it again and again in the Bible. You know, if my mom was teaching Sunday school and she needed to prepare for the lesson in the car ride on the way to church, you know what I'm feeling? You know what I'm saying? You were probably hearing about the feeding of the 5,000. It's a good little story to tell. But let's hear it in a new way this morning, I hope. So the characters are, number one, Jesus Christ. He keeps showing up in our stories, right? But in this particular story, the person of Jesus is wanting the disciples to pull their weight. The disciples come and say, "Hey, Jesus, it's a problem. Fix it." And he says, "How about you fix it for once?" So that's the Jesus in this passage. And then a very important character you may have missed, the crowds, the 5,000 men and women and children that were there. So more than 5,000 people. That's the crowd. I want you to remember that as a character, the crowd. Their main idea, their main focus is that they are hungry. They followed this rabbi. All of a sudden, they're in the middle of nowhere. It's like Woodstock, but the first one. There's no convenience stores around. And all of a sudden, they're hangry. The blood sugar has dipped. They're needing some sustenance, but there's no Chipotle to be seen. And so the grumblings get louder and louder. That's what I want you to know about the crowds. And then the last character, the disciples. Oh, the disciples. It's so easy for us as modern followers of Jesus to read the Bible and think of those guys as just a bunch of knuckleheads, right? They feel like they're just talking to a regular old rabbi. They're in a regular old situation. This is a normal day to be following a rabbi. They don't know that the Son of God is in their midst, and that the last thing the Son of God is worried about is that they ordered enough pizza for the Bible study, right? He's not worried, and yet the disciples, the only thing that we know about them is that they are uncertain and that their pockets are distinctly empty. That's what we know about the disciples. Today, I hope you hear that this church is needed by this community. We must live into that need. So today, like I said, you've heard this passage before. I'm sure if this is your first time hearing it, I want you to understand something. You know, every time we read the Bible, we come with our own lens of experience and our own history, our own tradition, that we never read the Bible in a vacuum. But today, I want you to put a certain lens on it. When you read about the crowds of the 5,000, I want you to have that represent our neighborhood, okay? I want you to have that represent our neighborhood. We've talked about neighborhoods here before. Our neighborhood is, yes, South Lakeland, here around this church. But really, the way I want you to view it is anyone that isn't in this room and anyone who isn't with Miss Vicky right now. And so that ups the numbers significantly. You know, this area is growing, but we don't have 8 billion people here just yet. But that's around what your neighborhood looks like. It's not just the area around here or our second campus in Highland City. It's rather the entire world is your neighborhood. Ooh, all of a sudden, it gets a little bit more scary when all of those people start getting hungry. We see the needs of the world around us, and we can feel so small. We can feel so insignificant. We can feel so poor. We can feel like all we've got is 5 loaves of bread and some fish, and they're not even big fish, Jesus. There's a big, big need. Friends, if our neighborhood would change, it will require us to give them Jesus. There are plenty of churches who view themselves as resource centers. You know, they pass things along to people in their neighborhood. They give away free things, their collection points for things. And boy, is that a needed resource at times. But sometimes, friends, I think churches forget that the number one thing we bring the world is Jesus. Here's the thing, 12 times today, guaranteed. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, that's not enough to feed any crowd. Frankly, give me a shot and I'll probably polish it off. But instead, what was needed was the power of Jesus. The church needs to remember, not only do we bring hope in tangible ways, but we bring Jesus. Because, and this is why it's important, what do the disciples see when they see this crowd? They see need. Sometimes if you watch the news like I do, or you look on social media like I do, and you look at the world around you, all you see is need after need after need, pain after pain after pain, and it becomes so overwhelming. You look at the statistics of the death toll that's happening in Gaza, and it becomes impossible to imagine that many people exist, let alone die. You look at the conflict in Ukraine and Russia, conflict around the world, and all of a sudden you can't even imagine what it would look like to have that many people in a room, let alone dead. And you look at the statistics of hunger in your neighborhood, and you realize that 15% of the people that live in Florida live below the poverty line, and you're like, how could that possibly be? God, I've only got 5 loaves of bread. I got 2 fish, Jesus. How am I supposed to feed them? We can become overwhelmed. But what does Jesus see in this hunger? He sees opportunity. He sees a bunch of hungry people, and he sees an opportunity to show just how powerful God's grace is. He sees an opportunity that 5,000 people plus women and children are going to go home thinking, I couldn't eat another bite. Friends, what would it look like if the church decided to see the pain in the world around us, and instead of being overwhelmed, overcome with despair, we were overcome with opportunity? So how we view the crowds is so important as the church. You see, sometimes the church sees the crowds as adversarial. You know, they look into the world and they see, you know, oh, the world is this, the world is bad. You know, the world, you know, does this and does that. And it's not like Jesus and it's bad. Let's just stay away from the crowd. That's kind of how I was raised. Or sometimes we see the crowd as uninterested. You know, we don't think the crowd is bad, but we know the crowd isn't interested in being a part of a church. I don't know if you know this humbling statistic, the fastest growing religion amongst millennials, who are in their 30s and 40s, by the way. When you see a college kid, they're not millennials. And they make that abundantly clear to me when I adjunct at Florida Southern. They are not in my generation at all. I'm their grandfather. Or in those under the age of 30, so Generation Z, the fastest growing religion in both of those demographics, none. Not, you know, ladies in habits that serve the Catholic Church, but rather N-O-N-E's, none. Friends, these are people who care so little about religion, care so little about organized faith, that they can't even muster the courage to say that they're atheists. Church became so irrelevant to them in their lives, they don't even say, I'm definitely not a Christian. They say, I don't even care who I am. That is how irrelevant religion has become. And sometimes we as the church, we think, well, I don't want to invite anyone to church or be a part of what God is doing. That might be weird. It might make people uncomfortable. I don't want to be like that church. I don't want to be like that guy that stands on the corner screaming into a bullhorn. By the way, don't do that. I don't want to be seen as that kind of person, and so I'm not going to invite anyone because it makes them uncomfortable. And I'll tell you what, friends, that has not helped the work of the church. I've shared this statistic before, but I'll probably share it at least 1,000 more times. In 2022, 70% of United Methodist churches had no baptisms and had no new members. Y'all, come on. That is what viewing the world as adversarial or viewing the world as uninterested has gotten us. But what did Christ feel for the crowds? You know, we as Christians, we might view them as adversarial or uninterested, but what did Christ feel for the crowds? Compassion. Christ was so moved by compassion, he saw 5,000 plus people and he thought, who's got a disease? Bring them up. Who's never walked? Who's never seen? Let me heal them. Compassion, friends. Oh, friends, what if the church saw the world with compassion? The disciples had lots of good reasons as to why the crowds were someone else's problem. Oh, God, send them into the villages. Get them out of here. I am not working the potluck line for 5,000 plus people, Jesus. Send them, right? I saw a Buc-ee's a couple exits back. Tell them they're hot brisket on the bar. Let them go get it there. Not here. And what does Jesus say? You give them something to eat. Jesus shows us again and again, who do the crowds belong to? Us. Who do the crowds belong to? The church. This church is needed by this community. We must live into that need. The disciples give a very good reason to Jesus. We don't have any food. We've got just a little bit of bread, a little bit of fish. God, send them to go somewhere. And what does Jesus say? You give them something to eat. The disciples hear that. They take their abacus out, their Google Sheets, their Excel spreadsheet. They get the calculator with the chunk, chunk. And they say, you know, listen, it's quarter three has been hard, all right? So we really can't do this. We haven't allocated or earmarked any extra expenditures for this quarter, Jesus. So request denied. Boom. No. But what does Jesus say instead? You give them something to eat. There's nothing wrong with being cautious. As your pastor, one of the things that I care a lot about is how your tithes and offerings are saved and spent, taken care of. We treat that with a high value, especially in the United Methodist Church. There's nothing wrong with being cautious. There's everything wrong with being stalled. Can't tell you how many churches are sitting on resources, not just financial, but spiritual, emotional, social resources, community resources that they just think, can't spend it. If I spend it, then it's gone. They have this scarcity mindset, not just about finances, but everything that they have. That's why this church, we're trying to be very different. We have, not to brag or anything, the best playground in the neighborhood. It's the only playground in the neighborhood, but it is 10 out of 10, five-star playground. And there are some churches, friends, that I know of personally that lock their playgrounds unless it's Sunday morning. Liability. Liability. We will put a sign out that say, like, play at your own risk. But there's a resource that we can share. We've got 9 community garden plots, a resource that we share with our neighborhood. We've got good earth. We've got land to share. We have to share those resources. Friends, what if the church would stop being stalled and move? You see, the reason why they were stalled, friends, the reason why they were stalled is because the disciples knew why they couldn't feed the 5,000. They had all the reasons. They had done the studies. Oh, Jesus, we can't just do handouts. I mean, what if people get used to it? You know, they'll never learn to fend for themselves. We got to teach them to fish. Can't hand out fish. We can't do this. You know, what if they're going to get lazy? We can't do it. And what does Jesus say? You give them something to eat. The disciples forgot why they could feed the 5,000. They got their eyes off of the reality of how they could feed the 5,000, and that was the person of Jesus. This church is needed by this community. We must live into that need. So there's a miracle in this passage. Some pastors shy away from miracles. You know, in this logical age, stop. I don't know how a magnet works. Of course, miracles still happen. You know, like, it's a wave. Stop it. You don't know how it works either. There's a miracle here, but there's more than one. And I want you to look closely for it. Christ takes a small amount of something and turns it into a moment. It is amazing, yes, that all those friends got to eat. And they were full. But it turned a small thing into a moment. Christ didn't feed the 5,000 just so they could get, you know, a good Google review. It wasn't so that, you know, people would feel nice and warm and fuzzy. It was so that people could sit down and hear the gospel. You know, people had to start leaving, but Jesus wanted them to stick around, and so he had to make the way for them to be able to stay. I see this miracle, and I think about our bathrooms. Hang with me, all right? I think about the work of our trustees, which includes plunging the toilets, friends. You know, amen, hallelujah. It makes me think of our trustees cleaning the parking lot so there isn't trash there. It makes me think of the trustees ensuring that the lights stay on and the air conditioning is cool, clearing the way for people to come and hear about Jesus. That is the miracle here, friends. It's the work of the live stream so that people can watch it online when they're home and sick, or even if they don't live in Lakeland but want to hear from this church. It's the work of those who invite their friends. It's that work that clears the way for God to work. Yes, the bread and the fish, they multiplied. That was wonderful. But it was so much more than that. Friends, when we experience those miracles, we must point to Jesus when our something turns into a moment. Don't get me started talking about this church. I will talk your ear off. I'm so proud of what God is doing here. And every last one of those things was a moment. Our Fall Fest, the first Fall Fest we ever had, we planned on 100, 300 people registered, and just under 1,000 people showed up. And it was great, and then it was horrifying immediately. Because I was like, we need to have security here, but we didn't. And then it's grown even more. We've had 1,300 here before, kids coming, getting a bunch of candy, raising a bunch of money for Medilla Elementary. That was a something that turned into a moment. A lot of planning, a lot of Amazon purchases, a lot of Facebook ads, but it turned into a moment. This church here in this space, the Sunday before I was appointed as the pastor, there were 30 faithful people in the room, and we've grown to more than that. We've had 57 new members, and it has been a gift to be around all of you as you begin to rediscover and discover what church could be. That was a something that turned into a moment. In July, we're going to become one church with two locations as we go into the wild east of Highland City, a church that I drove past all throughout my high school and college career. Amen. And we go and we love people in a new place and a new time. All that will fail miserably unless the Holy Spirit is involved. The thing is, when things like this start to happen, people like to ask pastors and leaders, so like, what'd you do? Like, was it like a subscription that you paid into and like people started showing up? Or like, tell me about your Facebook ads. What's your SEO like? Those sorts of things. And every single time I can say it had nothing to do with me and everything to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about that second miracle. Because miracles are not magic. Christ hands the food to the disciples. I told you to underline this part. We're going to come back to it right now. You ready? Jesus gave the fish and loaves to his disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowds. Christ hands the food to the disciples, and then it multiplies. Jesus takes the fish and bread and, you know, prays over it. I don't think he did this, but he prays over it, lifts it up to heaven. But then the multiplication begins when the disciples are faithful enough to carry it into the crowd. Imagine if Jesus gave you a little sardine and said, now go feed 1,000 people. You'd be like, okay, walking out like, here you go. 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 And all of a sudden, you begin to realize, I'm carrying a miracle. The disciples had to carry it out into the space because without them, the miracle stays at the source. But friends, the crowds aren't at the source. It is our job to go out and meet them. A miracle is not magic. There was no abracadabra, no magic wand, no multiplicatious fishes. It took the people going out and handing it out. The disciples didn't make the miracle, but they brought the miracle. Friends, what miracle are you going to bring today? What miracle are you going to bring this week? This church is needed by this community. We must live into that need. So today I have some action for you. I have a challenge for you. I know that if you're anything like me, every day I wake up and I'm hoping to be just a little bit more like Jesus. Maybe I'm looking back on the last day and like took an L on that one, but I'll try again tomorrow. And I just want to push you a little bit today with some active things that you can do. First, this week, next 7 days, I want you to live as a miracle bringer. What does that mean? I want you to view everything that you do that looks even just a little bit like Jesus as a miracle. I'm sure you're all lovely people. Everyone that I know in this room are lovely, lovely people. I love you guys so much, I could cry. And the things that I do, the things that you do that look like Jesus are because of the Holy Spirit. What would it look like, friends, if we started to recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit when we say a kind word? What would it look like if we saw it as a miracle of Jesus when we were generous with our money, with our time, with our talent? What would it look like if we were merciful with someone who didn't deserve mercy? I know you just thought of someone. What if that was our way of seeing that Jesus was showing up in our lives? This week, I want you to be a miracle bringer. And then, this is the tough one, I want you to ask Christ to help you see the crowd's needs, the needs of the crowd. The crowd around you, the crowd in your neighborhood, the crowd in your county, your state, your nation, your world. I want you to see, ask God to see those needs. And only if you're brave. You don't have to do this one if you're not feeling brave. But if you're feeling brave, ask Jesus what you can bring them. What can you bring the crowds? What miracle can you carry into the world to meet their hunger? This church is needed by this community. We must live into that need. Let's pray together. All right, friends. I hope you heard something in today's message that made an impact in your life, helped you know that you're loved by God, and inspired you to do something about the gospel that is offered to you. Now receive this blessing as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.